Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
Good morning. Huh? What a sweet time of praise this morning. Really, really. You know, Chad made a mention that Mario had launched the series, the overarching series, Jesus Change and Stories of Transformation. And, you know, I'm expecting that this morning. And I hope that all of you are feeling the same way, because that God has never changed. And so throughout the summer, like you said, you're going to have different one of us. I'm here this week. We've got another one next week coming up. The title for today's message is Hopeless Desperation to Hope-Filled Faith. We'll be looking at a story of one woman's challenges in life and how she rose above it all. And, you know, I think for all of us, you know, we love a good story, don't we? You know, they kind of bring us on a journey. You know, we tend to look things. If we could just dial down a little bit and press in with our hearts, we can join them on that place. And our hearts, too, can be transformed. So in Christ, we all have our own story, do we not? Right? A story of how Jesus changed and transformed our lives. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if change could happen overnight? If transformation could just take place and we wouldn't have to go through all of what we go through. Well, here's a story of a man seeking overnight success. The easy way from a sage, which is a person that's distinguished for his wisdom and his experience. So, a man met a sage on the road. The man asked the sage, "Which way should I go to achieve success?" The sage said nothing, as he pointed to a place in the distance. The man, thrilled at the prospect of quick and easy success, rushed in that direction the sage pointed to. Suddenly, there came a loud splat. Soon, the man limped back, tattered and stunned. Assuming he must have misinterpreted the message, he repeated the question to the sage. "Which way should I go to achieve success?" The sage pointed silently in the same direction. The man obediently walked off once more. This time, the splat was deafening. The man crawled back. He was bloody, broken, tattered, and irate. "I asked you, which way should I go to achieve success?" he screamed at the sage. "I followed the direction you gave me, and all I got was splatted." "No more of this pointing. Talk." Only then did the sage speak. "Success is that way, just a little past splat." So what it would like, how many of us have hit splat a time or two? I mean, seriously, come on. Although the promise, you know, we grow up wanting to succeed in life, do we not? We live in a world that is driven by success. Thankfully, God met us on that crossroad, on that journey. With the good news, Jeremiah 29:11 out of the Message says it so well. "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to give you the future you hoped for." You know, although that promise, as we all know, is firmly in place, that does not mean that the storms and the struggles in life will not take place. Can I get a witness here? You know, I think we're all in that place. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says it so well. "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair." You know, I think in some ways, though, perplex is definitely putting it lightly. You know, sometimes I think, I look around the room, I look at myself, and I think, I need to remind myself at times to breathe. You know, take a breath. Maybe even this morning you're in a place right now where you need to just take a breath and look up. And it's like, today, we're going to look at a life of this woman that I mentioned earlier that was facing insurmountable challenges and hardship. Notice how her struggles did not alter her faith. So we're going to turn to Luke 8:40 through 48. Jesus returned and a large crowd was waiting for him and welcomed him back. A man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell down in front of his feet. He pleaded with him to come to his house because he had an only daughter, 12 years old, who was dying. So they set off and the crowd pressed close in around him. There was a woman who had an internal hemorrhage for 12 years. She spent all she had on doctors, but had not been able to get a cure from anybody. She came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his robe. Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. "Who touched me?" asked Jesus. Everybody denied it. "Master," said Peter, "the crowds are crushing you and pressing you." "Somebody touched me," said Jesus. "Power went out from me, and I knew it." When the woman saw that she couldn't remain hidden, she came up trembling and fell down in front of him. She told him in front of everyone why she had touched him and how she had been healed. Instantly, Jesus said, I like this part, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace." See, in today's story, Luke takes a careful study of two women in two tragedies. In one, we read Jairus, the father, needed to have faith, while in the other, the woman's faith saved her. So before we take a closer look into the life of this woman, I would like to begin with the central mission of Luke's gospel, found in chapter 4, 20 through 21. And with this, Jesus is entering into his hometown. He's entering into the temple, what he commonly did. And he was handed a scroll by the attendant, and he reads out of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach, to tell the poor the good news. He has sent me to announce release to the prisoners and sight to the blind, to set the wounded victims free, to announce the year of God's special favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. You can imagine all eyes, right? All eyes in the synagogue were fixed upon him. "Today," he began, "this scripture," powerful, "is fulfilled in your own hearing." That is so powerful when we think about it, right? The good news that they have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years, Jesus stands up and pronounces it. After years of silent preparation, Jesus arrives in his hometown, clothed in the power of the Spirit, in response to the will of God, announcing the year of God's favor. This is where Jesus' change begins, everybody. Mankind is about to be transformed by the love of God. You know, sadly, his hometown didn't welcome that, sadly enough. You know, he even made a comment that a prophet is only without honor in his hometown. All they could see was the carpenter's son. They didn't have eyes to see. There are times in our life as well that we miss it, that God may be speaking to our lives, maybe through somebody that we really don't take much value in, because again, all they saw was the carpenter's son. It did not come in the package that they thought was going to happen. And so Jesus, as you know, the mission's going to go on, right? Jesus had spent time in Capernaum before he returns to Capernaum, which is a great place, by the way, because it's very crowded. It's one of the largest districts in Palestine. And so people from all over flocked. They were hearing of this prophet that was doing miraculous signs and wonders. So, you know, truthfully, pressing into Jesus was an understatement, for everybody wanted something. Yet there was one woman filled with faith and desperate enough to make her way through a wall of people. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when we'd go to concerts, you know, I don't know, the last concert I went to, they had chairs by the front stage, but a lot of times, I don't know if they still do, you know, everybody's standing there, and everyone has felt like they've earned their way there. And it's that type of a wall. You know, we need to catch the whole, sometimes you can think of back then as only a few people. We need to catch the understanding of what was really taking place. It was a wall of people. And you know, as I studied the life of this woman, truthfully, I was challenged really in my own faith. Even right now, I'm still challenged. When I think of the woman that had 12 years of hemorrhaging, you know, I mean, she had to be anemic. She was physically drained, and as for women, hormonally drained as well. And it also said that she had spent everything that she had on doctors. According to the law of Moses, she was perpetually unclean because her flow of blood was daily. So that meant that she could not touch anybody, nor could anybody touch her. That meant anything that she sat on was unclean. I mean, it doesn't say anything as to whether this woman had a family, but if she did, they had to stay away. So she was removed from all community, religious feast, celebrations. I mean, we read about Jairus, right? The one that threw himself down. That's the synagogue ruler pleading for his daughter. Yet we don't see anything in the scripture of anybody pleading for her healing. She was completely alone. You know, the freedom that we have even to gather today. You know, we talk and we socialize, we hug and we embrace. Stories I've heard, stories I've spoken. The value, we sometimes lose it because we have it so freely in our culture. She lost 12 years ago. So many obstacles she had to overcome. All the pain, all the fear, all the judgment. Yet hope compelled her forward. She was determined to not miss this opportunity to be healed. And there are times in our lives where God presents himself before us, and it's an opportunity. She did not let rejection, fear, disappointment stop her. Did she hear, you know, in passages before, did she hear when Jesus spoke the parable of the sower? That if you receive the word with an honest and good heart, and hold on to it with perseverance, it will bear fruit. You see, our heart really is the soil of our faith. In order for the fruit of the Spirit to grow, we will need to hold on to our faith with perseverance. I'm glad it's back there. It's not up there. I like how Hebrews 11:1 says it. Now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Insurance and hope is crucial because it pushes us forward. It believes in what we don't see. I like, we sing a song in the church here, and it's titled It Is Well, and I didn't know the title, and I didn't know the words, and I'm telling my husband, it's like an anthem. He's like, what's the title? I don't know. What are the words? I can't remember. But I now found it happens to be my little, what would they be? My great nephews said it, that this is their favorite song. And one of the verses, it says, far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. So let go my soul and trust in him. The wind and waves still know his name. You know, this woman would not let go, even after 12 years of pain. She believed, she had conviction, that she would receive healing by simply touching the fringe, the garment of Jesus. The healing that she hoped for became a reality for her. But that was only the beginning. The miracle for this woman gets even better. Jesus calls out, right? Who touched me? You can almost see, you think about passionate Peter, right? Peter was always the one that took Jesus aside. There was something, if he felt Jesus was doing something wrong, he thought he'd correct God a little bit here and there. So you can almost see Peter rolling his eyes. Like I said, the crowd is pressed in. It's a wall. This woman, this weak woman, makes her way through all of that. So it's like, what a foolish question, or so it seemed. Because the question only made sense to the one he was speaking to. See, Jesus knew, Jesus knew who it was that touched him. But there was greater implication with that question. Have you ever heard a word in your own life that just went directly to your heart? A word that was so personal that you thought that God was only speaking to you? I guess the question is, what do you do with what God has said? This question, who touched me, was personal only to her, for she didn't just brush up against Jesus in the crowd. She reached out in faith. When Jesus was asking, who touched me, he was calling her forward. It wasn't so much that he was trying to embarrass her, like, I can see you want to hide. Let me just bring you forward and embarrass you in front of everybody. But remember, she said that she came forward, right? She was terrified on so many levels. And part of that reason was, is we got to remember, she was unclean. So that meant as she pressed through the crowd, she made everybody else unclean. Don't forget we had Jairus there, which is the synagogue ruler. She was in a position of fear. What do you do when Jesus is calling you to do something that's uncomfortable? How about something that doesn't make any sense to our rational minds? What do we do with that? See, she had a choice, like we do. It's called free will. This is what she was facing in that moment. Obedience is not always easy, but it is always rewarding when we're obeying God. See, just when you think, and she thought, that nobody notices her, Jesus calls her out of crowd. He made time for her when nobody else would. See, don't forget that he was on his way with Jairus for his daughter. Notice that his daughter was 12. Almost like the entire years that this woman's had this condition. You would have thought, in some ways, Jairus said that my daughter's dying. That the daughter would have been more important. And sometimes we approach the Lord that way as well. Like, certainly you're going to touch this person. Certainly you have time for this one. But not me. Although Jesus had very few words to say to this woman, they were important ones. Daughter, your faith has saved you, made you well. Go in peace. See, she received so much more than just physical healing. And although we need to understand, God loves to heal body, soul, and spirit. It's not just one. God's concerned about the whole being. She received the name she longed to hear, daughter. By the only one that had the authority in her life at that time to announce it. In that moment, her destiny changed. You know, again, it doesn't say much about her family. Doesn't say much, you know, even how old she was. But now she knew she had a heavenly father that loved her and cared about her. See, Jesus calls out to her openly to proclaim her healing publicly. For you see, her struggle really was a public one. You know, man may look on the outside, right? But God looks at the heart. So her struggle was all those years. I mean, I'm still reflecting on the life of this woman of all those years of not being a part of culture, of not being a part of people's life. We can sit here today and many of us can feel lonely and feel as if that we don't matter. I mean, did her family have to wave at her from across the street? Our struggles, physical as they may look on the outside, always involve the heart, the place where beliefs are formed. See, all the years of isolation and rejection were removed because Jesus brought transformation to her whole life. In response to her public testimony, Jesus proclaimed not only to her, but to all that had ears to hear, that she is whole. This act of faith was no stolen blessing. You notice that's what she wanted to do. Let me just sneak in. Let me just touch the fringe. Oh, I felt, you know, she felt healing. See, in life, many things are earned. In Christ, everything was given. Jesus responds to her, go in peace. The word peace that is used here is rooted in the Hebrew word. I love this word, and actually it was in prayer time. Thank you, Todd. He spoke it over to me. I think we need to bring it back. I need to just say shalom. Isn't that just everybody say with me, shalom. Isn't that, you know, we should greet each other, shalom. I love that. It means wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, prosperity, carrying with it the implication of permanence. See, that meant that whatever comes her way and our way, whatever challenges we may face in life, we have been made whole and complete in Christ. I love N.T. Wright kind of brings the passage of Scripture to such clarity that we just read. And so I just want to quote N.T. Wright here. This is the passage that Luke would repeat to us today. In whatever problems or suffering we face, the presence of Jesus getting his hands dirty with the problems of the world is what we need. And what in the gospel we are promised. As we live inside of Luke's developing story, we find Jesus quietly coming alongside of us in our muddle and fear. He welcomes our trembling touch and responds with that central biblical command, do not be afraid. You know, I just want to say that fear may cast an ugly shadow over your life. You may be sitting here this morning dealing with fear or doubt. Jesus understands our struggles. He defeated them all. What we need to keep in mind is that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and that we can place our trust this morning in the Lord. We can rise up again with hope, with confidence, with trust, even if, now this woman, I think she's just a perfect picture because she went 12 years. But you see, I know the stories of many of you in this room. I've shared my story with many of you. Some of us have waited a very long time. Some, and we're still waiting. Ephesians 3:20 to 21 out of the Passion Translation. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you. and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest imagination. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Said so well, isn't it? I see, I believe that the Lord is calling us to a faith that is above and beyond what we've believed so far. You know, I was like that in Hope Against Hope. He believed God desires to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. I always quickened my heart when I would read that because I thought, will I challenge myself in Christ to believe greater than what I've... Sometimes disappointments and challenges have a tendency. We put a guard up because we don't want to be disappointed. I've asked before. I've had people pray before. I've tried for that job before. Whatever it could be, you know, prayed for that child that's still struggling. See, I believe, again, the Lord is calling us to step out. That will mean we will have to take a risk because we believe that our God is faithful. See, he's worth the risk. It's not Jesus worth the risk this morning, you know? You know, about a month ago, my husband and I were blessed with tickets to go to the Josh Groban concert. Truthfully, it was as if God brought us out on a date with him. I'm telling you, it's like we had no idea, and they just came in, and I thought, okay, fine. I've heard of him, and I think he's got a great voice. But yeah, I think why not? Let's go. But throughout the evening, we were overwhelmed by the presence of God. It was as if that, in some small way, it was like every note, every word, every musical instrument was like I was feeling it from the inside. It was like I had a little glimpse of the worship and praise that was going on in the throne room. Just a glimpse, right? Only a glimpse. But, you know, it just brought me, it brought me deeper into the presence of God. I'm telling you, I truthfully was, when the Lord touches me, you know, just personally, I have the tendency to cry. Most people probably see me on Sundays, and I'm like, in the early days, everyone thought I was in this like major deep pain, and I'm not saying that I wasn't dealing with things in my life and still do, but you know, it's just how I react when the Lord touches me. So I'm just, tears are flowing, the music's just, you know, and of course the sound, the acoustics was wonderful, and it's just coming in from all sides. And it's this gentleman on the side of me, and he's like filming it. And I'm thinking, I have no idea what he's thinking, because all I'm like, you know, I'm like just wiping my face because it was such an impact. I felt like the Lord whisked me away. And during the time I was listening, there was a song that stuck out to me, a song that you may all know, I'm sure. But it was a song that would not leave me. And as I was preparing for today, I really felt that the Lord's hand was on it. And so with that said, I really hope that it blesses you as well. It's titled, You Raise Me Up. And if you have it, I've talked a long time. Are we good to go? I'm going to walk away.
When I am down and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdened be. Then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and stay a while with me. I am strong.
That deserves an amen. Oh my gosh, that is it's a all male cappella group that the place that they were at. I thought, where are they? Are they out of the country? It was in Utah. It's the Provo Canyon in Utah. Makes me want to go there. How about that, huh? It just rocked me. And when I saw that, I thought the fact that there was a collective gathering. It brought us to the point where it wasn't, it was beyond the song, wasn't it? Into the place of what God does in our life. You know, the song is a promise that God will raise us up, has raised us up to more than what we will ever be. We need to be and should be encouraged this morning. This is a new day in God. You know, our confidence is really in His faithfulness. You know, I believe that there are promises that the Lord is wanting to fulfill in our lives. I believe there are dreams that the Lord has given us that have yet to come to pass. The beginning of this year, I had asked the Lord what 2019 was going to be. And I instinctively heard Him tell me. And I have to honestly tell you that what I've seen in the natural, it does not measure what He told me, okay? You know, it was like, it kind of went south. I thought, wait a minute, you said this. You know, hello, you know, I'm here. Because it was, number one, the word was not a word that I would have actually thought that the Lord would have responded back. It came so very quickly to my heart. And I thought, I'm going to hang on to that. So what do you do again with what God has spoken to you? What do we do with it? See, we want to hang on and trust. Not even, see, maybe it might have a different meaning a little than what I first perceive it to be. But will I press in and continue to trust and say, God, Your ways are greater than my ways. They're higher. So can I just trust in You, even when maybe I don't see what I want to see, but to believe that God is faithful. See, the woman in the story reached out with hope-filled faith and expectation. In Christ, the things we hope for are not figments of our imagination. They're already established in the heart of God. I love the fact that God is not bound by time, that He lives outside of time. So He knows the future. He's been there. That's profound. As it said, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, right? So it's profound that we serve, that we love of God, we love a God that has our future, our destiny in His hands, that we can be hopeful, we can be confident. And yet at the same time, it says Jesus comes quietly, like in the story, alongside. Remember that what I read that N.T. Wright comes. He says, He comes quietly alongside of us in our muddle, in our fear. Sometimes it's not very loud. Sometimes the Lord is there and He's quiet. And He's waiting for us to dial ourselves down to hear Him. So I just want to, for now, I want to call the prayer team up, and I'm going to end the service. I want to pray, but I want, as I'm praying, I want you to just, you know, position yourself, posture yourself in the presence of God, because today is a new day. If you're dealing with struggles, with fear, with doubt, with insecurity, with sickness, there was so much said from the very beginning of our time this morning of words that the Lord was highlighting. Please, let this be a time where, like this woman, that you can press in even when you may not have seen things this so far come as you want them to. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, that you're a God that changes and transforms.